is coming back. It is an assurance. It is not a question of doubt. It is coming back. The reality is now, what are we doing about it? It's the sense of urgency that we need to have. And I see so many of us just go with the flow, be content with what we're doing. When we have people that are dying and going to hell next to us every single day. We don't have the love. I think we don't have the love to invest in them because it's too hard. The reality, this is it. We rather shoot them away than invest the time in them and give them what they need with love. I am convinced that sometime here in America, we have decided that people are a burden for us. And those who we're supposed to reach are a burden for us. And it's time for us to realize that God has put them in our path so we can make a difference for them. And the things that changed everything is love. If we don't have love, you will never invest time, you never energy in people. And that's what we need to realize. We need to help our heart to become loving to the point that we are willing to do whatever it takes. Jude said, whatever it takes, pull them out before it's too late. And this is what I think our ministry is about now. You see, exactly five years ago, we came back here from the field in Ivory Coast. By the way, my name is Alan, and my wife's name is Jada. We are missionaries to the Ivory Coast, Côte d'Ivoire in West Africa. So we came back in 2020 to raise money like we usually do for our ministry. And when we got here, I got the surprise of my life because the doctor that I went to see as my regular doctor told me that there was a problem and that I need to go and see a nephrologist as soon as possible. And when I went to the nephrologist, they confirmed that I have I was in renal failure. That if I didn't do anything soon, I would be dead. Now, how many of you remember 2020? What was happening in 2020? COVID, yeah. And when I think about that, I think about the timing of God. Because you see, we got here in January 2020. March 2020, there was COVID and no travel. Just imagine if I waited just a couple months before I came back to America. I would be a dead person today. Because you see, one of my cousins grew up together, best friend, just passed away for the same thing in Ivory Coast. So I thank God for the timing. I thank God for the protection. I thank God for everything that he provided. I mean, we take that for granted here, that what we have here, a lot of people in the world don't have that. And we just take that for granted. And we have to understand that God has blessed us. And he has blessed us for us to be a blessing to others. Not to hoard everything, but to be a blessing, to give to people that need our help. And so in 2020, everything shut down. I find a nephrologist. I was in Michigan at that time, raising money. We had to stop everything after COVID. So after that, for 2 or 3 years, I was on dialysis. Thank God for dialysis in America. Because a lot of people in Africa don't have that. So I thank God for the blessing because of my wife also. She was really willing to give a kidney so I can come up because we were not a matching. I came up to the list because she was willing to give a kidney to somebody else. And so I became a recipient in 2024. November 8, 2024, I received my kidney. Thank you, baby. And I'm eternally grateful to her. It wasn't the first time that she did something that was significant for me. Because, you see, I grew up Catholic. Grew up Catholic in Africa. I came here to make some money for my family. I came to do a PhD, to make a lot of money, and to help my family. How many of you know that God has a sense of humor? I'm still looking for that money. I haven't found it yet. So if you know where I can find it, please let me know. I need that. But in the process, he put me in touch with a beautiful lady, my wife, that was Pentecostal. So the first time I went as a Catholic to the Pentecost church, can you imagine the shock of my life? They were playing, the guy was playing the piano, all of a sudden he get down and start running around the church. And people start running after him. So I say, what did he do? Why people are chasing him? They said, no, it's not chasing him, he's just a spirit. I don't want that spirit. But you see, how many of you know God has a sense of humor? Today I'm one of those chasers running around the church. Amen. You see, is it Ilea? This Ilea, your wife, thank you so much for your testimony, guys. But it blessed me this morning because I can feel a pain because we're there ourselves. What do you do when you know that God has given you something? He asks you to do, he gave you the passion, and things are not happening. You pray for yourself, and just things are not happening the way you want. And you cry to God. You see, this is where we are right now. God, you put an urgency in my heart for you to reach people as much as I can. But at the same time, I have limitations. I have financial limitation. I have space limitation. The things that I want to do. And you pray and you pray and you pray. And it seems that nothing is happening. And every time that you make progress, it seems that you come back two times backwards. And you feel like, God, what is going on? Why are you letting us down? So the ministry this morning really touched me. Because I know that in due time, and because it's his word, this is going to happen. That we're going to have the ministry that we dream for and that God has given us in the Ivory Coast. That we're going to make a difference. Right now, we're in the process, and I don't know how it's going to happen, but somebody's, you know, blocking a piece of land for us right now. We don't have the money, but we just pray that God will make a miracle for us, you know, because we want to put our sanctuary, we want to put clinics. Most importantly, we want to have a dialysis center. You see, because of my own experience, I believe that God has put that fire in me to put this, you know, this center right there, not only ministering, thank you. Not only ministering to the people, you know, with the word of God, but physically also. Because I always say to somebody, if somebody comes to you hungry, he will not receive the word because he's too busy for his body. But like the ladies share here, if God opened the door to us by ministering to their physical needs, we are able to touch their heart and make a difference and make them disciples of God for life. Amen? Because they know that God is real. You see, every time that I get back to Ivory Coast, people are like, why are you coming back here? You got everything well in America. Everything is going well for you. Why are you coming back? And I had to tell him, I'm coming back because God gave me the passion for you. He has given me the call. You see, in 2006, I went back to bury my father. And after the funeral in Africa, we have a group of elders, and they wanted to meet with me. My first reaction was, I'm in trouble. I probably did something or said something, and I'm in trouble. But to my surprise, when I sat in the circle with those older gentlemen, the first thing that they asked me, they said, we heard that you became a Christian. You see, they knew me as the spoiled brat in Ivory Coast. that used to, my dad has, my family has this first black and white TV in the village. So I was rich. I was a hustler. So before people, you know, my dad would put the TV in the window, and before people can come and watch the show, I would tell them to give me some money. So I was making some money on the side with my dad not knowing, you know, I was making some money. So that's the way they knew me. And then they see the change. And the older guy said, "We see the change in you. What happened?" And before I have a chance to answer, one of the elders said, "I heard that you found Jesus in America. Can you share with us that Jesus that you found in America?" And that night, God gave me the purpose of my life. You see, I was in the financial industry. I was doing well. I could stay there and trying to, but God said, "This is not why you came to America. You came to America for this purpose, for you to get this gospel that I'm giving you and to go and share with the people, your people back home. You may not have the money, but you have something more precious, and it is gospel that you need to share with them." And this is what we're doing today. We need your prayers because we are in that transition part where sometimes it's dark, it's discouraging because you don't see things, you know, with your own eyes. But with eyes of faith, we believe that God has already opened the doors. Yes. And we're going to see the reality come to pass, yeah. The dream become reality. And that our ministry, we take, you know, because we have so many prophecies. Sometimes you're like, "I don't want any more prophecies. I want this to be reality." And this is where we are right now. So we ask you to pray for us. We thank you for everything that you're already doing here. Sister, all the ladies here, it's a great pleasure to be here. It's to be, you know, to be a man in the ladies' ministry, conference is still really, you know, great to be here with you. But we know that this is here just a station. We have to be filled so we can get out and make a difference in the life of people. Amen. We thank you so much for your prayers. We thank you for any donation that you, you know, you feel like you need to. But we just want to be here and say that God is not done with us yet. He's not done with you. And I believe that he's going to do greater things in our life. Amen. Thank you, sis. Thank you for having us today.